Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. And oh, come, let us adore him, right? Yes. Father, we bow down before you, mindful of the season in a way, and we're just mindful of your presence every day. Mindful of your great love for us, your mercy, your grace, your long-suffering, loving us so much. So prepare our hearts this morning, Lord, to receive some more Proverbs as we see in one after the other, and all little nuggets of wisdom and pointing us in the right direction and also showing us the wrong direction. So guide us as we go through chapter 11 today, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in this section right now of over 300 Proverbs without stop, started in chapter 9, I believe, and goes all the way through chapter 29. And there's no headings on any of the chapter breaks. They're just one proverb after the other, after the other, after the other, pretty much. And so we have about approximately 30 Proverbs per chapter, and I think we got 31 today. We had about that number last time, and that's kind of about the average, somewhere around there. And so today we have a continuation with a lot of contrasts. You'll see a number of words in here that kind of keep your ears open for. First, the word but. That's the most commonly used term in here, and of course that's a contrast term. State one statement, and then but, contrasting it with the opposite, so to speak. So we've got 22 times in 31 verses that but is used. And then we have righteousness, our old friend righteousness, 12 times again today. A lot of righteousness in the book of Proverbs. There should be a lot of righteousness in our lives, should there not. And then we have a coupling with deliverance of righteousness 5 times today, righteousness and its deliverance. And so that is a study in and of itself, really. And then we have a number of other things here, but those were just some words that popped out as far as kind of repetitive. So you'll kind of catch the flow of that as we go through it. Proverbs chapter 11 begins with an abomination, and abominations are not good. I don't know how we could get a more hateful or distasteful statement with the Lord than an abomination to him. So we got a couple of them in today's chapter. The first one is a dishonesty and unjustness. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And of course, it's easy for us to think in terms of a scale. You have one thing on one side and one thing on another side. And, you know, if they're equal, they're balanced. If they're not equal, one is going to go down and one is going to go up. Well, in those days, they didn't have the Bureau of Ways and Measures and all that stuff that we are blessed with today. So what the merchants would have, you would buy and you would sell with scales. And so if you wanted to buy some butter, say you'd put the butter on one side and then you'd put the weights on the other side until it balanced up. And then you'd look at the weights and that's how much you would pay on a per weight basis. But unfortunately, the unjust merchants would have three sets of weights. They would have one set which was accurate, and they'd have another set which was light, and another set which was heavy. So if you're buying, you want the heavy weight, because now they have to keep loading it on and on and on and on until it finally balances out. But if you're selling, you want a really lightweight, right? So turned around. But anyway, you'd have a light one and you'd have a heavy one. The proverb here is, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, and a just weight is his delight. So we're to be honest, we're to be just, and when we're dishonest, it's an abomination to the Lord. So that's pretty strong. Now we get our old friend pride again in verse 2. When pride comes, well, you can fill in the blanks, and it's not going to be good. When pride comes, then comes shame. But contrasting with the humble is wisdom. with the humble is wisdom. Show me a prideful man or woman, and they don't want to learn anything. They know it all, right? So they have very little wisdom because they're not learning anything. They're not open to anything. They know it all. Verse 3, integrity. That's a big one. The integrity of the upright will guide them. So here we see a connection between integrity and guidance. Integrity will guide them. But perversity, well, perversity does the opposite. Perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Will destroy them. So we see so much perversity in today's world, particularly. We've had a whole rash of perversity in the last few years here in this country. And, you know, God hates it, and it causes death is really what it causes. It causes destruction, no life, the lack of life. Verse 4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. And so this is kind of the contrast between life and death here. If you store up riches, you may have umpteen $1 billion, and you may say you're the richest person in the world. How much are you going to take with you? Absolutely zero. So you leave it all behind, and it has stumbled you and kept you out of the kingdom of God normally. Riches in themselves aren't bad. It's the love of them and the stumbling of them that's the problem. The righteousness in verse 5 of the blameless will direct his way. So we have righteousness guiding and we have righteousness directing. How is your righteousness? How much righteousness is in your life? The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. So with the wicked, you not only have the problems of the world to deal with, you got your own, you're creating your own problems. But the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. So we got wicked 8 times today. We got a lot of wickedness in today's study. Verse 6, the righteousness of the upright will deliver them. There's that delivering again with righteousness. We have that several times here today. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their own lust. So self-correcting, isn't it? The unfaithfulness will be caught by their own lust. So when you see a wicked person and your thought is, how can they get away with that? They're not. They may be appearing to get away with it at the moment, but they are not going to get away with it. There's no unjustness that's going to be unresolved by the Lord. Verse 7, when a wicked man dies, his expectation perish. So think about the plans that Hitler and others have had in the past, and they're going to do all of this, and when they die, it's over. Really over. And the hope of the unjust perishes. The hope of the unjust perishes. So all the things they're accomplishing, trying to accomplish, or hoping for will all perish. Death. But think, contrast that to our hope. Your hope. Your hope that you have in Christ, that living hope. Such a contrast. Verse 8. The righteous is delivered from trouble. There's another deliverance with righteousness. It comes to the wicked instead. So, trouble, you may have your own trouble, but if you're righteous, you're not going to have any trouble compared to the wicked, and the wicked is going to develop their own trouble from their own actions. Hypocrite. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. So any evil stuff coming out of your mouth or hypocritical things coming out of your mouth, particularly about your neighbor, if you hear something about your neighbor, keep it quiet. Don't bring it up in a prayer meeting. Say, oh, we got to pray about my neighbor. He's doing all this stuff. Go to him and talk to the neighbor about it, but don't talk to others about it. Through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Verse 10, when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. Well, we can think of a lot of political figures on that one. I think of Herod the Great. You know, Herod the Great was so hated, and he knew he was hated, and he knew he was just paranoid. Of course, he killed his wife. I don't know how many wives he killed, and he killed some of his sons because he was so concerned they were going to take the kingdom away from him. I mean, he was a bad dude. It said Herod's pigs were safer than his relatives. But what happened with Herod when he was nearing old age, death, he appointed all of these, he told his staff to kill. They had a whole bunch of very popular people in Jerusalem at that time. And he knew that if all these popular people were killed, then the city would be in mourning, because they knew, Herod knew he wouldn't be in mourning for him. So rather than have him rejoicing because he died, he wanted to have everybody crying because all these others, you know, would look like that. But when he died, then his soldiers had enough sense not to kill anybody, so everybody was rejoicing with his death. So, verse 11, by the blessings of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. And of course, that's very similar to, we'll pick that up in Proverbs 14, you know, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. And how we've seen that in the last few years is so clearly in our government. And we've seen how the nation's been just really groaning. But we see a big turnaround now because of the graciousness of the Lord. So, but we really need to pray. It's not that, oh, now we can sit back and relax. And no. The evil is very much alive and very powerful, strong in these end times, because they're pulling out all the stops. Verse 12, he who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor. So any of you frequently talking about how bad your neighbors are, you might check your wisdom. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. So there's times to speak and there's times to be quiet. And wisdom will give you the determination of which to do. A talebearer reveals secrets. Oh. Now, you know there's some people in your life that you would never tell them anything you want to keep secret, because everybody would know it the day after you told them, right? Oh, I won't tell anybody. And then it gets back to you. Everybody's been told, right? So I hope that doesn't happen with me. But a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is a faithful spirit conceals the matter. So how many things are you going to take to the grave with you that you never told anybody? It's kind of an interesting thought in a way. I don't know that you need to take everything to the grave, but there probably are some things in your life that you should go through life without ever repeating, you know? Verse 14, where there is no counsel, the people fail, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I see that particularly multitude of counselors. I see that as such an opportunity for us old people, because we have experience that is so valuable to the younger ones. I mean, they do such stupid things like we did. You know, you may hear some of these young men saying, you know, my marriage isn't going well. Oh, okay. I'm sorry to hear that. And, Yeah, my wife is just not very understanding. When I punch her in the nose, she always gets mad at me. What? But isn't that true? And we should be passing on to the younger ones in a discipling the experience that God has given us. Because you can't be around this time as long as most of us have been around here and not learned a lot more than you knew 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, right? And that needs to be shared as the appropriate time. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer. Don't co-sign. Yeah. He is surety for a stranger who will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. So don't expose yourself unnecessarily to taking over another person's responsibility. God is really emphasizes, as you know, in the scripture over and over again, the importance of taking personal responsibility for your actions. And we have so blunted that down today, right? There's nobody who is to have any responsibility for their actions because they're all victims, right? Oh, yeah, that, you know, he had back pain, so he went out and shot this guy. That happened this last week. And you got to understand, if you have enough pain, you don't know what you're doing. And so he really must not have had much of a choice. Well, that was premeditated. Premeditated is murder. It isn't a case where the axe handle flew off the axe and off the axe handle, and like we have in the case with Elijah there, and or Elisha, I can't remember which. And that was not premeditated. That's a totally different thing. Verse 16. I like this one. A gracious woman. Think of a gracious woman. What comes to mind? Well, here it says, a gracious woman retains honor. Isn't that a great statement? A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. Ooh. Well, that's a contrast. And ruthless women as well, I would guess. It's not so much the gender, it's whether they're ruthless or gracious. Verse 17, the merciful man does good for his own soul. Wow. Not only for others, but for his own soul, for his own health. Included in that. But he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. I always think of Abigail and Nabal when I read that, because he was such a fool and so cruel, and she was so merciful. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. Notice that word sure in there. It's not just you'll be rewarded for righteousness, but you'll surely be rewarded for righteousness. Continuing on with righteousness, verse 19, as righteousness leads to what? Life. So what's unrighteousness lead to? Obviously the opposite. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. So righteousness, life, unrighteousness, death. Verse 20, those who have a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord. So the other abomination in today's chapter. But the blameless in their ways are his delight. So are you an abomination to the Lord, or are you a delight to the Lord? It all depends on whether you're perverse or whether you're blameless. Verse 21, though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. So think in terms of they join forces. Think in terms of the end times, the Battle of Armageddon. You have all of the three huge armies of the world gathering together to fight against the Lord. Well, they can get as many as they want. They're all going to be destroyed. So numbers don't help you if you're unrighteous coming against the Lord, that's for sure. This is a total out of the blue one in a way, but it's very vivid in its description. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I mean, I don't know about beautiful, but now think of this too, particularly to the Jews, because the swine is absolutely terribly unclean, right? Unclean, undesirable, to be avoided at all costs. And now you put a gold ring in that. And that thing that's the worst thing you can think of, so unclean, so obnoxious, you're going to put a gold ring in it. It doesn't fit, does it? It doesn't fit. But that's how a lovely woman who lacks discretion is. I think Hollywood's full of those, aren't they? Particularly when they're young. I mean, they're all into beauty and they're beautiful to look at, but they have nothing beneath that. It's just, and they're not discreet at all. They'll do anything to anyone and with anyone. And no discretion. So is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Ooh. Wow, that's heavy when you think of that. So if you're wicked, all you can expect is wrath. Get rid of the wickedness. Verse 24, there is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than right. So, generous or stingy is what I wrote down in mine. And how generous are you or how stingy are you? Well, if you're generous, you're always going to have plenty. Because look at it this way. God wants to bless people, and he wants to bless people through you. So who is he going to provide ammunition or things to bless with? He's going to provide those who bless others with it. And if you're not blessing anybody with it, he's not going to give you anything. He's going to be stingy. So you got the Sea of Galilee with water coming out and all kinds of life in it and everything else. And you got the Dead Sea where nothing comes out. It's just a stenching sinkhole of death, really. There's no life in it. Can't have any life in it. So what's your life more like? A Sea of Galilee, or is it more like the Dead Sea? 25, the generous will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Wow, that's a nice one. The generous soul, continuing on generosity here, the generous soul will be made rich. I put down there, how much of a giving heart do I have? He who waters will also be watered himself. It's pretty much the same as 24, or similar to it anyway. 26, the people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. So think of Joseph. In times of plenty, he withheld the grain, so there would be plenty when there wasn't. But then when the crisis came, he didn't gouge the people. That's the problem. We're to not be withholding, hoarding up stuff so when a crisis comes, then we can really get rich on it. No, that's not what we're to do. Taking advantage of someone else in a crisis, we're not to do that. Verse 27, he who earnestly seeks good finds favor. Do you earnestly seek good? Or how much do you earnestly seek good? Or do you always earnestly seek good? You'll be a blessed person. You'll find favor. But trouble will come to him who seeks evil. 28, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. So think of a lush green thing, really growing, flourishing. And then think of somebody trusting in his riches. Now again, nothing wrong with riches, but if you trust in them, you're going down. And you may even have a big bank account when you take your last breath. But believe me, there's no joy in being the richest man in hell. Of course, you won't have any riches anyway when you're in hell. You'll just be in hell, right? Verse 29, he who troubles his own house. Husbands, adultery, and everything else. He who troubles his own house will inherit nothing, will inherit the wind. And it goes on, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. The fool will always be a servant. They'll never have anything. Verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Oh, now this is a great verse here. I guess they all are, but think of this. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Are you a tree of life? How many were you a tree of life to this last week? Or last month? Were you? How fruitful are you? You know, we know that Jesus wants us to bear a fruit and bear it abundantly. He who wins souls is wise. Wow. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. I think we all would agree with that. The question is, how fruitful am I? Verse 31, if the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinners? Now, this one is, in a way, to me, a really a deep one, because we're thinking about the righteous now, but they're going to be recompensed. Now, what does that mean? The righteous are going to be paid back? Yes. Think of the chastising that Moses went through. Righteous man. But he struck the rock. He misrepresented God. He was chastised. He didn't take the people into the land of Egypt, the promised land, I should say. And then think of David, a man after God's own heart. But following his terrible thing with Bathsheba and all, and even the another one he did was the fall when he took the census when he shouldn't, and thousands died, and he was chastised for that. He was held for that. You don't, even the righteous, if you're going to mess up, there's going to be, you're going to have to pay that back, recompense on the earth. So then, how much more the ungodly? And of course, I think Peter does a great job of stating that same thing in 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of the Lord. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? That sums that verse up really well, I think. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? So, really, heaven or hell, fruitfulness or want, generosity or stinginess, all of these things are very clearly stated in those, aren't they? Father, we thank you for another session here of Proverbs. And Lord, there's in a way with 30 of them, there's so many it's kind of hard to focus on more than a few. But the ones that we really need to apply to ourselves, we need, of course, to apply all of them. But the ones we really need an application for, may that really burn in our hearts and really may we really respond to that as we go through these. Lead us now in this time of prayer that we would be able to bring things to you that are on our hearts, that are in accordance with your will as you would bring them forth, Holy Spirit. We don't really know how to pray as we ought, but you intercede for us with groanings and utterings and so forth. And so now lead us in this time that as a group here, as this little family, we would all be in one accord because we have all the same Spirit leading us. So guide us now in that, in Jesus' name. Well, we come to the end of the hour here and we all agree with those prayers. And we want to get back to the cross, I think. When we take God out of the world, no reason for anybody to live. So it's surprising. It's not surprising me the suicide rate is up. It's surprising me it's not higher than it is. But that God in his mercy and grace is our hope, is he not? So let's close with, he is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Tongue confess. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus Christ is Lord. Sing that chorus again. He is Lord. For he risen
Up one hand and sing, He's my Lord, He's my Lord,
He's my Lord.
Reach the day of
He's my Lord.
We love you, Jesus.
He has risen from the dead, and He's my
Father, that says it all. Your Son, we thank you, Lord Jesus. It's all about you. Thank you for what you've done for us. And, oh, Lord, may that shine forth through each of our lives today, that others would see you through us. You're the only hope. You're the only answer. And we thank you. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.